Okay, my side. Today's daf is daf tzaddik. We're holding at the Mishnah four lines from the top of the Yomid. And the Mishnah begins, Kotin shehisioi oviv ksuvosa kayemes. Shamanas kein kaima. This Mishnah on the surface sounds like, just like a father can marry off his daughter, he can marry off his son. It's not really that simple. In the Torah, Taka says that the father has the right to marry off his daughter, even when she's a katana, like it says in the Pasuk, as biti nasati lo ish hazeh. And if in fact the young lady gets married at that time, even though she's a katana, it's a kedushin min ha-Torah di oiraisa. The Torah, however, doesn't give a similar right to a father to go and marry off his son who is a katan. Nevertheless, the Gemara Masech the Sanhedrin, on daf ayin vov amid beis, the Gemara brings a Pasuk that it is suggested that a father should try to get his children married off, even children that are not yet bar mitzvah. So therefore, when it says in our Mishnah, katan sheisi oviv, it means that it is a recommended form of action that a father who has a son who is a katan, who has a Baruch Hashem, a Palkisha, he can find a wife for him, they can get married although he is a katan and she is a katan. That marriage has no validity min ha-Torah or midrabana. However, since they are living as husband and wife, it's not chas v'sholem a sinful get-together, but rather it's a marriage without dinim of deraisa drabban. However, what happens is that eventually Metz Hashem, the Chos and Kala are going to become bar mitzvah and bat mitzvah respectively, and at that point the marriage will be upgraded from a non-marriage to a full-fledged marriage deraisa.
Do they have to do anything to make that conversion?
What they have to do is they live together post bar mitzvah, bat mitzvah, and then automatically it gets upgraded to deraisa. Yes, sir.
So before they reach the age of bar mitzvah and they're living together, so all the mitzvahs that have to do with marriage don't apply?
What mitzvahs?
Like, let's say, nida or whatever.
Nida has nothing to do with marriage. Nida, when a girl, when she becomes 12 years old, she becomes a nida, then she has her 7 days of having to wait. Rabbana, Nazava, all the complications mentioned, we get to Masechus Nida. Of course, a nida is not allowed to live with her husband, but
they're the bas mitzvah, they're under the age of
if most girls don't see blood until they become bas mitzvah anyway, but if she were to see blood, even the Gemara says Masechus Nida, even a tanoik is bas yoyim, if she sees blood, she is a nida. And therefore, if that girl goes and afterwards touches the lekach that we just distributed, then it would become tamei, tamas nidim. Nowadays, unfortunately, because we don't have a base of Migdash, hopefully that will soon be rectified. We're not so nizhar on those types of halachas of foods becoming tamei.
Okay.
Yes, my friend.
Next hypothetical. So let's there are two below bar mitzvah. He's a kohen. Is she allowed to eat the truma and all that?
That's a very good question. My assumption is that the answer is no, because it's got to be nefesh kinyan kasboy. It has to be a kinyan, and a cotton cannot affect a kinyan. But there is a third halacha which I thought you were going to get onto, and that is the halacha of our Mishnah. And what happens if the boy and the girl, he gave her a ksuba before they got married? That ksuba now also gets upgraded and it flows with the marriage. So as soon as, in fact, they become full-fledged husband and wife, bar mitzvah, bat mitzvah, then this ksuba too will be chal at that time.
What if he divorced her before they became bar bat mitzvah?
How could he divorce her? They're not married. There's no marriage to sever.
He can go give a get. It would be a meaningless get.
Okay.
Anyway, so the ksuba flows and travels with the marriage, because that's the reason why he continues to live with her post bar mitzvah, so that it should now be holy matrimony. And so therefore the ksuba, which until now was essentially a nullity, Rashi even refers to it a chasba ba'almahu, it was nothing, now it becomes a full-fledged ksuba. And the Mishnah tells us the identical case by a ger, shenizgayra ishta imay. You had a Gentile who married a Mrs. Gentile, a Miss Gentile. And at that time, presumably, it was their intention to go and become Jewish, and therefore he gave her a ksuba. And the ksuba was written in Hebrew and written out with all the appropriate and pertinent language, and perhaps there was even a rabbi that read the whole ksuba from beginning to end. But the point is, this Gentile gave a ksuba to his wife. At that point, it's really meaningless. There's no such thing as a ksuba by a non-Jew and a non-Jewess. However, Baruch Hashem, subsequently thereafter, they became Jewish. Once again, the ksuba flows together with their marriage and together with the fact that they become Jewish. Is ksuvas kiyamish almas ken kaima? That was their whole intention from the beginning, that in Mirat Hashem they're going to continue living together for many years to come. So the Gentile and the mis-Gentile, when they became Jewish, their ksuba continues with them. And if at this point, chas v'shalom, he passes away, or he gives her a get, then she's able to go and collect on the ksuba.
So they got married before they
became Jewish. Because
but they didn't get married. They didn't get married. He gave her a document which had no legal validity. But once they become Jewish, it's impressed with the legal validity and becomes binding.
Exactly. That's what happened.
But they're not. But when they got married as Gentiles, the marriage, once they become Jews, that marriage is not recognized, is it?
No, the original marriage is not recognized, but they have now reaffirmed their marriage vows by having beit together, by living together. Mm-hmm. Just like by the katan and ktana, it was meaningless until now. After bar mitzvah, then they live together, boom, becomes automatically upgraded when they live together. Zogt Gemara Omer Avuna, Lishonu Elamonu Masayim, Avotisefes Einla. If this was a regular ksuba, which had in it that if the girl is a psula, it's masayim, if the girl was a beula, it's a mona. But besides that, the chasa was generous and says, and I throw in an extra $100, so that's the toisefes, in addition to the mona or masayim. Says Ravuna, that we say in our Mishnah, that this ksuba goes and flows with the marriage, and post bar mitzvah or post giyur, this is now a full fledged ksuba, and if chas v'shalom the marriage terminates, she collects her ksuba. She can only collect manu masayim. That extra $100 isefes ainla, she does not get. She doesn't get. What's the reason why? Says Rashi in the third line. Because the whole inyan of a ksuba and the 100 and the 200 is a tanai bezin. That the bezin said, not to bezin today, tanai bezin in the times of Chazal, that any time a person gives a ksuba, by a psula it's 200, by an amana it's 100. Says Vaitarashidilu Bishtar Loigavya. This shtar really is a meaningless shtar. The chasma ba'almu. Chasma ba'almu means it's like a shard, like a broken piece of pottery. It's really worthless. What makes this ksuba holy is the fact that the Chum said is a tanai bezin, you can go and collect the mono or masai. So why did they write a ksuba in the first place? Apparently, if one gets married pre-bar mitzvah or pre-giyur, then there's no tanai bezin that you have to go and give at that time a ksuba, because they're not even married. So, this ksuba, however, which they did write out, when it comes bar mitzvah or giyur, then it gets upgraded, and now it does have the sanctity of the tanai bezin, but only the tanai bezin, the minimum, which is the manu masayim, but not the rest.
So it sheds the tosefta?
Not that it sheds, you cannot collect on the tosefta. It becomes, that part of the shtar is uncollectible. But Rav Yehuda, Amar, I see you like Rav Yehuda, after the tosefta, Yerushal, you can go and collect on the tosefta as well. You have a brisa. Chidshu, no, tell us masha chidshu. Chidshu means after they get married, meaning, Rashi says, katan mishehigdil, or ger shemishkayer. What happens if that time they are so happy now? Oh, we are finally married min haTorah, and the ger and the giyorah say, Baruch Hashem, now we have a Jewish marriage automatically. We are so happy. You know what? To celebrate the occasion, I, the chassan, I'm going to go and add another $50 to the ksuba, and I really, I can't tell you how happy I am. So I feel that the service, so v'sik the brisa, chidshoy, if they were machadish something, in other words, they added something ksuba, besides the manu masayim, you get that chidush as well. That's the end of this price. So the Gemara now is matai chidshu im lechidshu lo, only because they were mechadish something new at this time. But the tosefos of before, apparently, you don't get in the chidush and Rav Yehuda. Everyone ima av mashe chidshu. All the price says is Chichu Nutella's Masha Chichu, meaning in addition to the Mana and Masayim and Tosefes that was there from before, you can continue adding on even more. No problem. So therefore, says the Gemara, this is really not a strong kasha on Rav Yehuda. But for Gemara, well, Tani Hachi, but here I have another brisa where the brisa says Chichu Nutella's Masha Chichu. If they were not machadish anything, that regardless of what it says in the original ksuba, psula goyv masayim, balmana mana, and not a penny more. So this is directly on point, and this goes like Rav Huna, that says you only get mana masayim, you don't get the sefer. Is a chashmir akash and Rav Yehuda. So it's more tiyuv to Rav Yehuda. It's takishmir and Rav Yehuda. So Rav Yehuda says, matznisin ati isay. I was mistaken, I erred based on our Mishnah. Why? Because the Mishnah says, Ksuvasa Kayemes. Who Savar, meaning Rav Yehuda, thought he understood the Mishnah. Ksuva Kayemes means a Kula Milzakai. That's the Chayyim, the Pasha of Shad, the Ksuva is Kayemes. Veloihi, however, we see from the Braisa, a Ikr Ksuva Koi, when it says the Mishnah, Ksuvasa Kayemes, it doesn't mean the entire Ksuva, it just means the minimum of the mana masayim in the ksuba, but not a penny more, unless you're machadish something subsequently. So therefore, we brought a knockout raya to Rav Huna against Rav he's married to two women, you know they're going to be promised. They're going to be tzuris. So what happened over here? Umein tzuri shoyna, and kidemes lishnia. I'm sorry. Misha yinosi shtei nashim umeis. Harishoyin lekayemus lishtiya. Viyorshi harishoyin lekayim liyorshi shniya. In this first case in the Mishnah, umes means that the husband died. He was married to two women, umes, and he died. Now there are two women over here that are saying, "Okay, he's dead. Both sat shiva shloishim, but now we have to collect on our ksuba. There's not enough money to go around in this estate to pay for both." So what do you do? Says the Mishnah, Harishoina Kidemus Lishniya. Then you look at the date of the first ksuva, meaning of the first wife that married. Since that was the first, it's like any time creditors come to a debtor, and the debtor doesn't have enough to go and pay everybody, then you go first in time is first in collection. So the first wife that had the first ksuva, she gets paid her entire amount. After that's finished, if there's anything left, then you go to the second one. Rishoni kedemus lishniya, the yorisha rishoni koyim liyorishniya. Meaning, what happens is not only the husband died, but the women also died, and therefore she has her yorishim, and the second wife has her yorishim. Again, you go based on the original date of the original ksuba, and the first ksuba is the one that collects first. Anything left, you give to the second ksuba. All that is pretty straightforward. Now, the next case is a little bit of a wrinkle, if you will. What's the wrinkle here? Nosis Rishayna, Umesa, Nosis Shnia, Umes, Hu. We have over here a person married a wife. She unfortunately passed away. When he passed away, the husband yarshint her ksuba, because there's nothing to pay out. You only pay a ksuba to a wife if she outlives him, or if there's a divorce. Over here, he outlived her, and so therefore the ksuba basically becomes a nullity. With one exception, which is going to be very important, and that's what we call the ksuvas banin dichrin. What means ksuvas banin dichrin? Ksuvas banin dichrin means if a person was married to multiple wives, and the father of the marshal of one of the women, when his daughter is getting married, said, "Oy, oy, oy, I know what's going to happen. If I'm going to go and give a generous nadin dowry to my daughter, and then if Chas Hashem the daughter passes away, the husband is going to go and yarshin it, and then the husband's going to pass away, all the yarshim from all of the women, from woman number one, number two, number three, number four, they're all going to go and split up the entire estate equally, and it's not fair, because the other women come from relatively modest backgrounds, they don't have a lot of money. I am giving a nice, generous dowry to my daughter, and instead of my children getting it, it's going to be spread out among all the kids." So there's a special tonight bezin called Ksuvas Banin Dichrin, that if and when, Chas Hashem, she passes away. And then he passes away, meaning the father and the mother. So now there are a bunch of yorshim from different wives. The yorshim of that wife, they go and get the benefit first of the nadin that was set forth in that ksuba, and then after that, then the others get their nadins as well. Whatever's left over, they're going to go and split equally. So what happened? There'll be a nosir rishayna umesa. He married the first lady, and then she passed away. Nosir shnias, and now he remarried to a second lady, and now umesu, and now he passed away. So who do we have left now here on the scene? We have the shnia is left, and we have the yorshim of the first wife. So shnia v'yorshia koimin liyorshia rishayna. In this case, we pay out the ksuba first to the second wife, or if she's no longer to her yorshim, before we pay out to the first yorshim. Why is that? Didn't you tell me that you always go back to the first ksuba and go in time?
The first ksuba doesn't exist. It was void. A nullity, you called it.
Good. Well, I called it nullity, not in this case, in the earlier mission, where when you're talking about a Gentile and a Mrs. Gentile, or in the case of the Kotna Diktan. Here it was a valid ksuba. However, over here, since she passed away first, the husband now, if you will, yarshined her whole estate. He's a yorsha, and that includes whatever right she has in that ksuba. So therefore, he doesn't have to pay out a penny under that ksuba. He does, however, have to pay out to the second wife. Why do you have to pay out to the second wife? Because when he died, she was still alive. What our Mishnah is telling us is a very simple rule. And that is, when you have chas v'shalom, a person passing away, before the heirs can go and distribute the estate, they have to go and pay off all of their creditors. Guess who the first creditor was in our Mishnah? The second wife. She never got her ksuba. Now, it's true that the first wife didn't get a ksuba either, but the first wife pre-deceased the husband, and therefore she doesn't get a ksuba. The second wife, however, outlived her husband, and therefore she says, I want my ksuba. Or if she passed away after her husband passed away, then the Yorshim say, we want our mommy's ksuba. And since this is a bona fide chayv, this goes first like any other chayv. So if there are any other people, Yankel, Beryl, and Shmerel, standing in the street saying, yeah, we have our notes, which were never paid, they also get paid first, before the heirs, before the Yorshim can go and distribute any of the assets of the estate. So that's a straightforward halacha. Says our Mishnah, the Shnia, meaning the second wife, or Yorshia, if she passed away subsequently, and now she has Yorshim. Koidman, they first collect on their ksuva, their Koidim Yorshia Rishoina. Now what would the Yorshia Rishoina get? They would get the ksuvas banan dichrin under the first ksuva. However, as the Gemara points out, and as Rashi points out, we had earlier on in our Masechta that the Loshin of the Ksuvas Banim Nichrin is Inu Yarsin Kesef Ksuvasech. They're going to Yarshin. It doesn't say Yasbun, which would be a Loshin of handing over like a Balchoy, but Yarshin, Loshin Yerusha. Oh, Loshin Yerusha. Yarshin first have to pay off the Choyvais. They have to pay off the second Ksuv. That's done. Nothing left. Then they can start talking about yarshening their ksuvas b'nei dichrin. So that's the finish of the Mishnah. Mishnah, we're going to talk about this in much greater detail in the Amud Beis. Let's go back to the beginning of the Mishnah. What was the beginning of the Mishnah? A person was married to two women. He died. There are two women who are left. Each one says, my ksuba, Rishoyne goes first. Says the Gemara, Midik Tani HaRishoyne Kodemus Lishniya. It just says Rishoyne goes first. The Lashon Kodemus sounds like a Lichat Chilah. For like Tony, why doesn't it say one step more? That a Rishoyna Yeshla Vashniya Engla. Only the Rishoyna gets if there are inadequate funds, only she gets. And the second one doesn't get at all. It says Kedema. It sounds like she goes first, but the second one also gets. What happens if there's not enough money to go around? She gets first, she gets second. No, it should say the first gets and the second gets nothing. So says the Gemara, since it doesn't say that, what happens if the second wife said, uh-oh, I see what's going on over here. There's not going to be any money left over for me because she has a big soup and I'm not going to get anything. So what happens if she chat? It's mashal from the Mishnah, we won't take it away from her because she is a bona fide creditor, even though she's second on line, but it won't be different than any time when people cut the line. So this second wife is going to cut the line, grab hold of her ksuba money, even before the first one received hers. It sounds like from the Mishnah, from this inference, that this would be effective, because it's only lechatchila the Rishon is before the Shnia. But the diabra, the Shnia takes first, she chat. Shema mina bal chayiv meuchar shekadam megova ma shegova gova. We can learn from this a principle that if a bal chayiv who's meuchar, meaning later in time, who went to the head of the line, cut the line, and was goiva, it worked.
But can't the senior lean sue in Beis Din and say, hey, my shtar predates yours? This is a regular bal chayiv situation.
We can talk about that later.
Okay.
Really, we don't have a right from the Mishnah. Because although it says kodemus, my kodemus means legamri ktani. Means not only lechatchila, but b'diavad also. Kidetnan, like we learned in Yesh Nochlin, says in the Mishnah, ben kodem levas. The son goes before the daughter. Are you going to go and tell me, okay, that's only under certain circumstances, but if the daughter hops, she can go, no, the daughter can't hop anything. And minatari, the ben gets everything, the bas gets nothing. And so therefore, this ben koidem doesn't just mean kedima, like epsan eitzatoiva, alechachila, it means yeah. So therefore, no raya. Ikariyami, there was another version where we started off just the opposite. Why doesn't the Mishnah throw in? If the second one chopped, you can't take it away from her. In other words, the Mishnah says the Rishonah goes first. The Mishnah could have continued on. And by the way, what happens if the second one cuts the line, grabs, doesn't say that in the Mishnah. Machlal, it therefore sounds like the Kodim Shniyah Betavsa, that if the Shniyah came and cut the line and chat, mafkinimino, inachami, we would take it away from her. If that's the case, shmamino, balchay, mu'uchash, kodim, gova, mashigova, loy gova. So let's go and be pushing the other way around, that in fact you cannot cut the line and you cannot be goiva if you happen to be later in time. Everyone, oilamay, malach, mashigova, gova. No, it could very well be that the second one, if, in our case, the lady goes and grabs money for her ksuba, maybe it would work. So why don't we go and say that in our Mishnah explicitly? Because I need to tell you, since the save of the Mishnah says, Shnia v'yorsheha, koidna v'yorsha rishoina, and in that case, it's not shaykh to go and say, but if the first yorshim went and chapped first, then they were goita, because the first yorshim were not bali choyf. When can you have this whole discussion about a bal choyv cutting the line if both of them are bal choyv? One's earlier in date and one's later in date. Can the later in date chap, would that have any halachic meaningfulness? Would you say an halachic meaning? Would it be a meaningless act or would it have validity? So that you can go and discuss. But certainly if the yorshim went and chapped before the bal choyv, that's worthless. A Yorish has to go and pay on the estate. The first of Bali Choyv have to be paid off, whatever is left over. That's American law lahavdil as well. In fact, in almost all wills, the standard will, it says in the first paragraph, first pay off all of my debts. After all debts are paid off, then this is the way we're going to distribute it among the kids or among his friends or whatever. Give money to trust, what have you.
So we have Bachov to Bachov.
Yeah.
And now we have Yorshim to Bachov, but Yorshim to Yorshim is where our Mishnah is really talking about. Our Mishnah is
the ratio to
I'm saying the real subject of our Mishnah is Yorshim vis a vis Yorshim, not Yorshim vis a vis Bachov.
Let's talk about the second case. Nasa Rishonim Umesa,
right.
Nasa Shni Umes. Mates who?
Right.
And Shnia, meaning the second lady.
Right.
And if the second lady passed away, Yorsha, huh? They're koidim li Yorsha Rishonim. They can go and get their ksuba before the Yorsha Rishonim. Now, the Rishonim has certainly passed away, because the case of the Mishnah is, Nosan Rishonim will make
so.
She died.
She died. She predeceased the husband.
Exactly. So we can't go and say koidim li Rishonim.
Right.
We can only say koidim li Yorsha Rishonim. But normally, it would be the Shnia is Koidemes Yorsha Rishayna.
Right.
Just if Chasham, if she passed away, and then her Yorsha. There goes Yorsha of the Shnia, they're not taking because of Yerusha from the father, they're taking the Yerusha of the mother. Meaning that the mother is entitled to receive a ksuba like any Bal Choyv is entitled, right? If you have Yankel and Beryl who were Malvim, who were lenders, they passed away never, but their children are around, so their Yorsha are collected
in the them, right.
Exactly, but it's all Choyv. So obviously the Mishnah at the end could not say that if the Yorsh HaShoina grabbed hold of the assets first, they can go and get before the Shnia. That's not true, because these are Yorshim, these are not Bali Choy. So therefore, since in the Sefer we couldn't say those terms, says Yimar, I did a ton of Shnia of Yorshia, Koyim the Yorsh HaShoina in the Sefer, therefore for textual
Consistency.
Consistency. That's the right word, consistency. We have in the Reisha also the exact same lashon of the Rishonim Kedemus Lishniya, Yerusha Rishonim Kedemus Lishniya, and we don't talk about Tvisa, but just like in the Sefer, Tvisa is a meaningless concept. Therefore, in the Reisha, for textual consistency,
parallelism.
Well, that's why we don't use it in the Reisha. So, bottom line is, our Gemara tells us we cannot go and bring a raya either way, whether a subsequent creditor can go and cut the line and grab whether it has any meaningful halachic significance. But now we go to the Seif. And the Seif, as you'll see in our Gemara, is far more, I don't want to say challenging, but it's an interesting sugya. Nosis Rishayna. Now, let's remember what happened again over here. We have a husband, he married the Rishayna, the first wife, and unfortunately she passed away. So now the husband yarshins everything from her. Doesn't have to pay out Exuba because she died first. And then what happens? The husband decides he can't live. And now he marries a Zivik Sheni, Nosis Shnia. And eventually, a year later, 5 years later, 20 years later, Nebuchadnezzar, and now he died. So now there is a ksuba which is outstanding together with other notes or whatever chayvus he may have. So he has to go and pay on that ksuba. So therefore, the shnia, that second wife, Baruch Hashem, is still around. Or if Chalila, she also passed away, her yarshim, they are demanding payment of the ksuba, which is a bona fide chay. They get before the Yorishim Rishonim. The Yorishim Rishonim means the Yorishim of the first mother who passed away. But what Yerusha would they get? The Yerusha that we're talking about is that they would get the Ksuvas Bonin Dichrin, that at this point in time, they don't want to just share whatever remaining assets. First you have to pay the Ksuva, the second one, that's for sure. But now we have Yerusha, and the whole bunch of Yorishim from this wife, that wife, this wife, that wife. We don't want to go and share it equally, because our father, our grandfather gave us a huge trust, a huge anadn, a huge dowry for our mother. Now we want to get the benefit of that. That's the whole concept of Ksuvas Dichrin. Says our Mishnah, the Ksuvas Dichrin, they get it. They get it, but they don't get it first in line. They get second in line. First you have to pay off the chayvus. And now if the chayvus are all paid off and there's still money left, Ksuvas Dichrin, we give the Yorisha Rishoina first dibs at being able to collect on the debt.
They don't get that's not set aside. That's not
that below,
the creditors could go after even after Nixi Malone.
The creditors go from who said they get from Nixi Malone? They go and take from the assets of the estate that the father owed to the wife, to the second wife, and then she collects whatever it was, $1,000, $5,000, $100,000, whatever it is, her manu masayim, whatever tisef is. Now, we're done with that ksuba. Now we still have Baruch Hashem left in the estate, twice $1 million. Instead of splitting it up among all the Arshim, we're going to calculate how much of that $1 million was the nadin in that first ksuba. If it was a full million, then they'll get the whole thing. And if it's a half a million, then they get the half, and whatever's left over the other half, they'll split among all the Arshim equally.
But does not include Nechsi Maluk?
Does that include Nechsi Maluk? What do you mean?
Well, in other words, in terms of what they're saying goes, but in Dichrin, they're setting aside properties.
Sudan Banan Dichrin, to my knowledge, includes anything that the father, that's grandfather, the father of the Kala, brought in, whether it's Nechsi Maluk or Nechsi Tzimbazo.
Right, so can that be invaded by creditors?
By creditors. Since he originally, when he was, question is, the Karen never belonged to him, the Karen belonged to her.
Unless he inherited it, which
one second, but when she died, he inherited it, like you just said. So therefore, now it belongs to him, so the Chayru can go and invade that as well. Correct.
When a wife predeceases the husband inherits
everything.
Everything. So Mariz and they say Maluk, the non Bakom.
Right, exactly right. Jogdi Mar. So Shema Nosa Esrishan. Shema Mina, from our Mishnah we can learn three halachas. Class. Number one. Shema Mina Achas Bachai the Achas Bamoisoi. Yesh Lehem Ksuvas Banan Dichrin. Fale Hashinan Le in Suye. Our case of our Mishnah is Achas Bachai the Achas Bamoisoi. Meaning that one of the women passed away when he was still alive, obviously the first wife. The Achaz Moise and the second one passed away only after the husband passed away. So what's the difference? There's still a Ksuvas Banan Dichrin, like we have in our Mishnah. So what's the Chiddush over here? We don't have to worry about that they might come to fight. What does the Gemara mean by that? So Rashi explains, L'chayra, what happens if you have a husband that has two wives and he's living with both wives at the same time, contemporaneously, not simultaneously, but contemporaneously? In other words, in the times before the Chedra Ben Gershom, you're allowed to have multiple wives. He had multiple wives, he had two wives. Fine. So now what happened? Both of those wives predeceased the husband. So he yarshins
everything.
Bak, mikoko. Fine. Eventually, he also passes away. And now you have the yarshim, who are his children, five from wife number one, five from wife number two. If it wasn't for Ksuvas Banim Dichrin, the father left over an estate of $1 million, we have five and five, 10 children, 10 into 1 million, each one would get $100,000. Very simple. However, the first wife that he married was a wealthy lady and brought a nice, hefty, beautiful nadin. That nadin was $800,000 worth. And the second wife, another poor lady, and they brought in $5. Good. Fine. So now, because it was one and different, the five of the first wife, they get the benefit of that whole $800,000 because that's what the nadin was given by their grandfather. They're entitled to it, and that's one and different. That's all. Right. So how much do we have left now after we deduct 800,000? We're going to be left now with 200,000, right? 1 million minus 800. It comes out roughly 200,000. Fine. So now of that 200,000, well, first we're going to give $1 to the second guy because that's how much their extra nadin was. Okay, so forget about the dollar. So now you have 200,000. This will now be split among all the 10 equally. If the second wife brought in Lamushal $100,000 to the marriage, give her the $100,000, in other words, for their five children. Right. Each one will get $20,000. We'll have $100,000 left, and this $100,000 is going to be 10 apiece. Okay, that's all very straightforward. In such a case, the Chachamim were not concerned about insuye. Insuye means inner fighting and friction, because everybody realizes this is the equitable thing to do. This is a wealthy lady, she brought in all this money, her children get that money. The other lady was not so wealthy, so their children go with that money. Okay, it's even, Stephen, it's not even, but it's fair. It's fair and equitable. However, in our case over here, the second ones are not getting the benefit of Ksuvas Banim Dichrin. Why are they not getting Ksuvas Banim Dichrin? Because they're getting the Ksuba, which was left for their mother. After all, the mother outlived the father, so she actually received the ksuba, or if she died after the father died, then the children go and get that ksuba. Fine, so they get the ksuba, whatever it says in the ksuba, from A to Z, which was the Manu Masayim and Tosefes and Nat, whatever it was, they get all that. That's all because that was a choiv. It's a real choiv. Fine, pay. Now what we have left over in the estate is Lamashal $1 million. So now the first five children of the first wife say, okay, we're going to go and collect now $800,000 of that. What happens with the remaining $200,000? That's going to be split equally among all the 10. The second group of Yorkin are not going to go and get.
Or Machai Mason.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, I hear.
A good convention. For many years to come, good health. Thank you so much. Amen. Great. So, the Gemara tells us now, in this particular situation where if they're going to give out the $800,000 to the first kids, the remaining $200,000 is going to be split up among all the 10. Now the second group are not going to get a ksuvas banim dichrin. Truth of the matter is because they've already got it as part of the choiv that they received.
Off the top.
They got it off the top. Fine. But now they're saying, okay, off the top is done. But now we have the Yerusha over here. Why are you taking 800,000? We're not getting any Ksuvas Banim Dichrin. So therefore, there could be potential friction over here. They're saying that we got the nan, that's because of our mommy. But we want to be able to get from daddy also, just like you guys are getting. And you're taking so much, 800,000, you're leaving so little for us. So therefore, there could be potential friction. Says our Gemara, but we see from our Mishnah that this is the way you're supposed to do it. You go and pay off the Shnia or the Yorshe Shnia, and whatever's left over, you give Suvas Banim Dichrin first to the Rishayna, and if there's still something left after that, then you go and split it up among everybody. So that's the first. So you're not worried about friction and fight. How do I know? Like it says clearly in the Mishnah. Shnia v'yorsha, koyd min liyorsha rishayna, they get first. Miktim hu dekadmi, they take again first. However, if there's anything remaining after the payment of that ksuba, then shakli, then the first family, they get down the ksuba is banan dichron, the yosha rishayna. Is the chlur that this is Allah, we're not worried about this lin tsuyay, and the chamur mesakin, the din of ksuba is banan dichron, in all cases, even in the case of achas b'chayev, the achas b'maisa. Ushmamina, ksuba nasis moisa l'chavita, that a ksuba becomes the moisa. What does this mean? Tomorrow on Yom Kodesh, you'll see the next Mishnah. If you want, you can go and jump ahead to Tzadik Aleph Omid Aleph. In other words, ksuvas banan dichron. The only amount that they have in the whole estate equals the two ksubas. In other words, in the case that we gave, let's give a new case. You have 800,000 is the first ksuba. The second ksuba was 200,000. And the entire estate is exactly 1,000,000. Or for that matter, less than 1,000,000. So what's going to happen is, if you're going to go give them the 800,000, you're going to give them the 200,000, you're not going to be mekayim the din of nachlo di oiraisa, because you're going to divvy it all up based on this takanas chachom. So it says, in such a case, if there's only shom shtei ksuvos, you ignore ksuvos banan dichron, the cholkin b'shavim, rather they go and split it up.
Wow, so 800,000 people, they get really underpaid.
Right, but how you shom moisa dinner, if you at least have one
in addition. Then the chulukah of 800 to 200 applies.
So that's the halach of the Mishnah. This is a special din, because the Chacham didn't want to be oiker nachla di oiraisa, so they'll say, fine, you get your ksuvas banan dichron, you get your ksuvas banan dichron, we still got one moisa dinner, now we'll split that among the yarshim, that'll be the nachla di oiraisa.
Why is it? Why not pruta?
I don't know. But I guess they wanted to observe the dog of Choshev, which shouldn't be good. It was up there?
No, but same, but if there was not this Moser Diner, then
that's what Mishnah says, then you ignore Ksivas Banan Dichrin, and now you go and split everything alike. So in our case, it was exactly $1,000,000. They were supposed to get 800, they were supposed to get 200. Since you don't have 1,000,001, you only had 1,000,000. So then you split it up 10 Yorshim, each one will get $100,000. The first group of five will get 500, second group of five will get 500, and that's how you makayim the nachla d'oraisa. But if you have 1,000,001, fine. You get 800, you get 200, and that moisa dinner, the extra dollar.
From the Mishnah?
You don't see that in our Mishnah, you see that in the other Mishnah. That's the Mishnah, we're going to learn it tomorrow. Mishnah, when you learn it tomorrow in Yom Kippur, you can tell everybody, I know this because you already learned it yesterday in the Shir. Good. You look at the Mishnah. Mishnah Nosh Shein Noshin. Akach Meisu. Yisoyim Babakshim Ksuv. Simon. Ein Shom Elvish Tei Ksuv. The entire estate is only the amount of the two Ksuv. Not a penny more. Chokim Shom. And they split it 50-50. Yeah, how Yishom Shom Meisu Dinner. El Meitu Ksuv. Simon. El Meitu Ksuv. Simon. It's good.
Yeah, but why is it Shom Meisu from
our... That we haven't gotten to it yet. That's what we're going to learn right now. Ushmamina, our Mishnah, did you see in our Mishnah a word about Moisa dinner?
No.
No. Why didn't you see Moisa dinner?
Does it stuff there?
The reason, says Rashi, is because here we're mekayim the hilchis nachli d'oraisa by first paying off the bali choiv before the yorishim go and divvy up the rest of the estate, the rest of the inheritance. What the Gemara means to say is that there are multiple ways of establishing and showing that we're holding the din of Nachla D'oraisa, and in addition to that, we have these Tanoim, these Tanai Bezdin, where the Bezdin said, go and do Ksuvas Banan Dichron. So you don't have to have the Moisa dinner. Since we paid off the creditor, who's the creditor in this case? The second Ksuba of the second wife that we paid off first. No, that's what Apotropsim, that's what Yorishim is supposed to do. You're supposed to not to first pay off your creditors and then whatever's left over. Us, in this case, you don't need the Moisa dinner. Why don't you need it? Says Rashi, says Gemara, Shmamina Ksuva, that second Ksuva payment, Nasas Moisa Chavata, that itself, with that you're Mekayim the din like the Moisa dinner. Why? Mimai Midlektani. By the fact that a Mishnah left out and Yesha Moisa dinner, the Mishnah should have said, when does the first group receive the Ksuvas Banan Dichron? Only after I pay off the full Shnia, her Ksuba, or her Yarshmi, pay off the full Ksuba. Now, if you have Ksuvas Banan Dichron for wife number one and for the Yarshim of wife number one, plus an extra Moisa dinner, then you can go and give them the banan dichron. It doesn't say you have to have the moisa dinner. It's mashma, whatever's left over. after you pay off his ksuba, there's $100 left over. That all goes to his bana dichron to the first one. But there's no way you're not going to mekayim nachla d'oraisa. Yes, I will mekayim nachla d'oraisa by giving that nachla to, by paying off the second ksuba. That's how the Gemara learns pshat. See if you take a quick look at the Rashi, about 8 lines in. Ksuba nas is moist lechavet. Afel gavli talking ksuba is bana dichron. Elim ken yesh moiser al shtei haksuba is dinner. Why? Because we don't want to be me'eker nachle diaraisa kinet nan bepekin, meaning tomorrow. Ubershin in time bepekin nan shun spatata. The reason is because we want to be mekayim the din of the nachle diaraisa. Having been the kimeisha shnein bechai of the trevayu also betrayed as banan dichrin. When both women passed away, bechaye the husband, and now the husband passed away subsequently, so everybody's coming to his banan dichrin. Which is the case of our Mishnah. That's the best way of doing it, min ha-Torah, that you pay off your creditors, and then after that you pay off the inheritance. When he passed away, you have all these nechosim. That's what you're supposed to do. That's the dinim of nachla d'oraisa. This ksuv itself, the payment thereof,
is halachically equivalent.
The halachic equivalent to a moiser dinim. This nasis ki moiser yerusha. Even if you don't have the extra moiser dinim.
So the ksuv bar dichron is basically threatened by the absence of being mekayim in the midst of nachla d'oraisa.
Mm-hmm.
If you can find a way to endorse nachla d'oraisa through some mechanism, through some payment, then you trigger and you release the ksuv bar dichron.
Perfect. And then you don't need the extra moisture.
And that's the idea from the Sefer of Mishnah, and that's as Rishonah Mishnah, and that's as Shiyam Mishnah.
From the omission, right, that our Mishnah doesn't talk about moisture dinner.
Right.
It just simply says, after the second one, then the first guy gets it.
Second gets the Suva, and therefore that's the equivalent of moisture dinner.
Exactly. That's the second Shemar. The Gemara, by the way, is going to challenge this momentarily, but that's what the Gemara says so far. Number three. And this is the point you made back on the Amud Aleph. Ushma mina ksuvas banan dichron lo yitarfa mi mishabdi. The ksuvas banan dichron is not strong enough to go and chap on mishuvan. The yisol kadai. That tarfa mi mishabdi leisa mene rishoyle le terfinu le mene shniya. So Gemara asks an aizen akasha. Fine. The Mishnah says that the shniya get first because they're bali chay. Okay. So they get, now they get their payment. But guess what? The first ksuba is earlier in time. Right. And if you tell me that the right to receive ksuba is ban dichron, not only do you take from B'nai Chayim, but also from Mishabadim, if there is not enough money to go around, then they can go and grab anybody, and they'll go and take back from the second what they just gave.
Right.
Easy come, easy go. They just went to the second, now take it back. It's a chasim you don't get from Mishabadim, you only get from B'nai Chayim. Okay, so those are the three shmaminas. The Gemara is going to challenge the first two. Maskel Ravash. Mimai. How do you know these three? But first we're going to go to number one. Dilma lo'ilam imoloch achas b'chai v'achas b'moisei ein lehen ksuvas banan dichron. Really, there is no ksuvas banan dichron. You know why? Because they only made it in a case where both sets of mothers, both mothers predeceased the father, so therefore both sets of orphans now are going to go and share in ksuvas banan dichron. Yeah, that's what there's ksuvas banan. But in the case of achas b'chai v'achas b'moisei, where the second wife and her yorshim are not going to receive ksuvas banan dichron, because we're going to go and give them their ksuva, period. And now the first ones are going to get a priority over the remaining yerusha, because they will get ksuvas banan dichron. That could cause friction, and they emulach taka emulach ksuvas banan dichron. Al my koydim, it says in the Mishnah that they get koydim. What does that mean? What it means is, the reason why we explained the Mishnah the way we explained it, because that's how Rashi explained it, and that's how the Gemara initially explained it. The Gemara says, it could be that it's different. What means that it's different? You have a case again, he married first the first wife. The wife died. And then he yarshined all over Nechosim, including the Ksuba, blah, blah, blah. And then the husband remarried to a second zivik. And then Nevachi passed away. So now the Shnia says, I want to go and get my ksuba. Fine, we give her a ksuba. and she's koidim, she goes before the Yorshei Rishona. Not that the Yorshei Rishona are going to go and receive now Ksuvos Banan Dichrin, but they're just going to go and get receive Nachla Min HaTorah. In other words, like any other, forget about, let's assume there was no such thing as Ksuvos Banan Dichrin. It didn't exist.
Father's property goes to them.
Exactly. Father paid off, now we paid off Baruch Hashem all the chayvus, including the ksuba of the second wife. So that's finished. I also paid off Yankel, Beryl, Shmerel, everybody's paid off. Is now left in the estate, $100, $1,000, $1 million. Who does it go to? It goes to the Yorshim. So therefore that's what it says. That payment goes first, because that's a choyv, that's koyv in the Yorshei Rishona, but not that the Yorshei Rishona are coming now to demand the ksuvos banan dichrin. They are just coming to say, now let's split up the estate, you know, our father passed away, we paid up the choyvus, now we want to divvy up the estate. That's how the Gemara is saying. Now, what the Gemara is bothered is, but the Lashon HaMishnah is koyv in the Yorshei Rishona. If we're talking about just splitting up the estate, having nothing to do with banan dichrin, it should just say koyv in liyarusha, or koyv in liyarshin. Not Yorshei Rishona. What does she have to do with this? If you're going to go and tell me that the reason why they're coming now to get paid is because Ksuvos Banan Dichrin, oh, so the Yorshei Rishona. We take out the Ksuba of our mother, she was the first wife. That's what Yorshei Rishona. But now we're not talking about the din of Ksuvos Banan Dichrin like this Kasha. Again, Maskul Rabash, in the case of a Mishnah, no Ksuvos Banan Dichrin. Oh my koyim, what does it mean? And it says in the Mishnah that the Shniya gets before the Rishona. It means Lenach Lektani, before we divvy up the inheritance. Not Ksuvos Banan Dichrin, inheritance. You first pay off your choyvus and then you pay off the Nach. Chitayim, and then you're going to ask, Yorshei Rishona Lameli. It shouldn't say Rishona. Rishona only sounds like it's a Banan Dichrin halacha. I did so Shniya of Yorshei Rishona. Really, just again, consistency in style, in text. It's what we call parallelism, like you said before. Udekamer. So that was, so if we have challenged now halacha number one, that it's not a clear cut shmamina. Now we're going to challenge number two. Udekamer. Ksuva nasis moisel chaberto. And therefore you don't have to have the moiser dinner. Vilmul oyna emaloch. Ain ksuva nasis moisel chaberto. Our mission fact is talking about that there was a case of Moise dinner. So why didn't it mention it? Because Rabbeinu HaKadosh said, I know tomorrow in Yom Kippur we're going to go and learn it in the next Mishnah. I don't have to repeat it every single time, every single halacha. I rely on you to learn the next Mishnah that it has to be Moise dinner. But if there's no Moise dinner in our case, I do not say that the ksuva is Moise lechaberta. So even if I'm holding Yos ksuva is one of different. But here I wouldn't give it Ksuvos Banan Dichrin because I don't have that extra moisture dinner. So therefore, you have no right on this case either. And with this, we have challenged the first two halachas, and the Gemara doesn't answer. In other words, it's a good challenge. We don't challenge the third one, apparently the Gemara feels that's solid. Now, on the first one, the Gemara is going to discuss that at some length, and the Gemara is going to say that this din of Achaz B'chai, the Achaz B'moisai, Tanoihi, whether or not the Chachamim were Mesak in the din of Ksuvos Banan Dichrin, when there seems to be some sort of inequitable distribution, because you don't have both sets receiving Ksuvos Banan Dichrin. See you, Mitchell, on Thursday. You never did anything in your life to bother anyone. That's why everybody calls you Brother Shai. Everybody loves you. Anyway, Zagi Bench, and see you, Mitchell, on Thursday. Have a lack of tunis. And it means easy fast. Easy and meaningful fast. Sorry?
They're
all the
here.
So, getting back now to the first halacha. The Achaz B'chai, the Achaz B'moisai, which we just said, maybe you have a raya from the Mishnah, maybe you don't have a raya from the Mishnah. Tanoi, in fact, is a machloikis tanoi. Again, the machloikis is all, when did the Chachamim make the Ksuvos Banan Dichrin? When everybody is able to get Ksuvos Banan Dichrin? And the typical case would be that both women predeceased the husband, and now the husband died, and now instead of just divvying up the estate equally and evenly,
everyone's on an equal footing legally.
Right? So what do we do in such a case? We give Ksuvos Banan Dichrin to each one of the groups of Yarshim, assuming that there's the extra moiser dinner. But in the case we have Achaz B'chayv, Achaz B'moisai, where the second woman and her Yarshim, they got their entire ksuba, so then that's paid off. Now I have a smaller estate which is remaining, and I want to give Ksuvos Banan Dichrin to the first guys. And now the second guy says, it's unfair. You get Ksuvos Banan Dichrin, we didn't get Ksuvos Banan Dichrin. We got the payment of a choyv. But we didn't get this special priority that you're getting, that you're able to go and take more of the Yerushin than us. We should split it across the board. And that's the Chayshin Lin Suya that we spoke about before. So that, in fact, is the Machlokes Tanoim. Whether Chachamim were Mesak and Ksuvas Banan Dichrim in the case of Achas B'chai and the Achas B'moise. Tisanya, our case. Mesu, Achas B'chai and the Achas B'moise. Oh. One woman passed away. Earlier, one person what happened afterwards. So Benanis Oymer Yichunim Bnei Rishoyin Aloyim LeBnei Ashliya. The first group of Yorshim go and say to the second group, Bnei Balas Choyv Atem. You are Balas Choyv because you're the Shniya.
Right.
Tulu Ksuvis Imchem Etzu Nemt Yoksuv and Kaitz Ksen Tait. You leave. What's going to be left over? What will be left over is if it's insufficient to go and cover both us and you, we're just going to take it for ourselves. Ksuba's but a different. Sayonara, we're done. You got your ksuba and your mother and the choyv and the whole thing. And now with the remaining estate, since it's only enough to cover, or maybe not even be sufficient to cover our ksuba's but a different, we're going to take the rest and goodbye. So what do I see that Benanis holds like our Mishnah, like we are at least the way the first Shmamin learns Pshat in our Mishnah, that we're not talking about Nachla D'Yaraisa, but our Mishnah is talking about Ksuvas Banan Dichrin, that in fact Ksuvas Banan Dichrin works even Achas B'chayim, Achas B'moisei, and the Chama were Mesakin in that case. What Rabbi Kiva Oimer? No. Farkov Tzenacham Lefnei B'nei Rishoyna, V'nof Lefnei B'nei Ashniya. What is this Lashon of Kof Tzenach? It's a very interesting Lashon. What it means is that the Nachla that the Rishoyna would have been entitled to, which we call Ksuvas Banan Dichrin, that jumped out of their hands from the B'nei Rishoyna and fell into the hands of the B'nei Shniya. Meaning that since it's an Achas B'chayiv, Achas B'moise situation, the Chacham were not Mesakin Ksuvas Banan Dichrin, and therefore you're going to have to split the rest of the estate alike. Equally, like the Mishnah said, Cholkin Bishave, pray to my Labakimathi. The more not afraid. The more is now fearing those, the Tanoi.
Right.
Isn't the Machlik is a Marisava, meaning Benanis holds, like he said, say goodbye to the other guys too. L'choira, that's the Machlikis. Very good. Omar Rabach, Chasimel, Rabban, and the Beir Rab, the Yasmik Amri, no right. It could be the Kuli Alma Av B'chayv Av Moise, Yesh Lang Ksuvas Banan Dichrin, that they were Masakin in all cases, even B'chayv Moise. Ay, Soi Bazoi, so what's the Machloikis Ben Nanis and Rebbe Kiva? V'ocha B'ksuva Nasis Moise Chaberto, V'uad Din Abal Choyv Kamifligi. The question is, there was no Moise dinner over here, and that's the reason why the first one said to the second ones, there's not enough money to go around, you got your Ksuva, goodbye, Tzuhu, and we'll take over the rest. And there was no moiser dinner. Uy, if there's no moiser dinner, then we learn the next Mishnah tomorrow, then there's no din of Ksuvas Banan Dichrin. But here I have the halakhic substitute. What's the substitute? The fact that we're paying the Ksuva to the second one, that in itself is like the moiser dinner, because we be Makayim, the Hilchos, Nachla, the Araisa, that I'm paying off my Balei Choy. V'achum Ksuva Nasa Moiser Chabeta. V'uadin, even if there was no second Ksuva, v'uadin the Balei Choy Kamifliki. What happens if there was no second Ksuva? But there was a Baal Choyf, and I paid off that second Baal Choyf. Okay, goodbye. I was Makayim now the midst of Nachla D'Yaraisa, and therefore the din of Ksuvas Banan Dichrin apply, even without the Moise dinner. So therefore that's the Machloikis. Ma'asav Ksuvas Nasa Moise Chavita. V'o din the Baal Choyf. Ma'asav Ksuvas Nasa Baal Choyf. V'o din the Baal Choyf. Very good. So nothing to do with Machloikis. Everybody agrees. We're not worried about Lin Tzuye. Everybody agrees. The machlokes over here, if we didn't have the moisen dinner, can you be mekayim the moisen dinner through the payment of the second ksuba? The middle one, no. So now Rav goes and adds, and he said, was this Rav or Rav?
Rav,
shkreich. So Rav says, and I want to add to this equation that it could be b'bal choyv kol yam le'pligi to have a moisen. If in fact it was a third party bal choyv that's receiving the money on his choyv, the person who passed away owed him $100, there's a note, we paid it off. That would be enough to mekayim the din of Nachli D'Yaraisa, it's as if he had the moisa dinner. Keep Ligi was Machlokes is B'Ksuba. Now why is Ksuba any different than the Baal Choyv? Says Rashi, because you're trying to tell me that you're mekayim the din of the Nachli D'Yaraisa by paying off a Baal Choyv. If it would be a third party Baal Choyv, for sure. But this is, in a sense, a little bit incestuous, because you're really paying among the Yorshim. You're paying from Yerusha to the Yorshim.
We're talking about Nachla, so what's wrong with that? We're talking about Nachla of the Raisa. So if you're paying inside the family, no good. Ain't lecha Nachla gedula mizu. I mean, this is Nachla, Nachla, Nachla.
They're not paying out to Teres Nachla, they're paying out to Teres Choy. And therefore, the Gemara, Rashi uses his expression, instead of these people looking on as being paying and being mekayim, they're not payers, they're payees. They're receiving their portion. Take a look at the Rashi. Rashi is about seven lines from the bottom. You have that?
Hoyel
v'hashar yotzi al kula on all the yarshim. Nim to kula poyrim. V'nach v'shalav. She'asim and mitzvahs priyas chayv abiyam. Every one of the
mutual payment
among all of the yarshim, the yarshim of the Rishon, the yarshim of the Shniyah,
right.
Everybody was mekayim the nachlid yarai, so we paid off the bachoy. Kipli v'ksuva. V'achas v'chay v'achas v'moise. Shashnia choivi. Pliki bananas. Now what? Pliki bananas. So harizu kishar choiv. What difference does it make? Choiv to Yanko, choiv to Beryl, choiv to Sprinter. A choiv is a choiv is a choiv. To have a moiser, I have the moiser. From kida sova love kishar choiv dani. Kiven the inu gufayu koshakli. They're not paying. They are receiving. They're taking. Ve'ilkach hanach b'nei shnia mekablin v'lei poirin. They are opening them. They're not giving money with their hands, taking money into the So here would be a poor substitute for the moise dinner, and therefore doesn't work. So that's the machloikis. Therefore, nothing. Not that there's a machloikis. It's got to be achim b'chayv, achim b'moise, yeshla and einlan. Everybody agrees. Yeshla. Machloikis over here is: can you substitute the payment of the ksuba
for the moise dinner?
For the moise dinner. Oh, very good. That came with Miksuf. That was Rabba.
Okay. Master of Yosef.
If that's the case of Bikiba, even Kvar Kofsenachla, Kvar Kofsenachla, remember we said was that the original Bonan Dichon rights that the Yorshe Rishoina had jumps away from them and jumps over to the other side, to the Shnia. In other words, there is no Ksuba's Bonan Dichon. So the way we learned Pshat originally in this Machlaikis was beautiful. Rabbi Kiva says, "Kvarkov tenachal fnei b'nei Rishayna." What does that mean? That means it's no ksuvas banan dichrin, but rather it's shared among everybody alike. Says the Gemara, now that you're telling me according to this nupshat that everybody agrees that there is a din of ksuvas banan dichrin, Rabbi Kiva shouldn't say kvarkov tenachal. He should go and say, "Emyesh moise dinner mi barilei." He should go and say, "Rabbi said there is a din of ksuvas banan dichrin. We just have to figure out if there's a moise dinner. If there's a moise dinner, then we can go and get. If not, we don't hold that the payment of the ksuba is the halachic equivalent of a moise. Why? Because they're mekablim and not poirim.
Right.
And therefore, Rav Yosef doesn't like that pshat. Hello, Rav Yosef. Yes, there is a machlokes after all, like we learned originally in the pshat, and that's the mashmois of Rabbi Kiva. He says, "Kovtza nachal of nei b'nei shoyna to the b'nei shniyah." What does that mean? Kovtza means the right of the banan dichrin has jumped away because of the fact that it's an achas b'chay, the achas b'moise situation. So you want to, and not only that, says Rabbi Yosef, "Ani tonoi ani tonoi." I found another pair of tanoim that also argue on this matter. Tisanya, no, says Rishoyna umesa. He went and married the first wife, and she died. Now he married the second one, Umesu, and then he died. Oh, very similar to the Lashon of our Mishnah. Oh, so that the Bnei Shulzu, meaning
the second.
So now, this is already a good tishayla what you're asking. Rashi says, Kosol Kedaitach. If you look at Rashi, and that would make sense.
Right.
Because they're the ones that the second mother died. After, right.
And there's a ksuba extant that they can collect on.
Exactly right. So boim benesh zu lechoira, and that means of the second one. But you see, kosal kavaitach liachar misa after she passed away. You know, ksuba zimun, they get not ksuba's ban dicher, they get the ksuba.
Right.
But that's a bona fide
chov.
Good. Now we didn't discuss what happens with the first one. Reb Shimon Oimer im yesh moise dinner. Oh, if there's a moise dinner, ilan ksuba zimun, ve'ilan ksuba zimun. V'yemlav cholkin bishava. Now, Reb Shimon Rabbi is just telling us plain, normal, Hilchus Ksuvas Banan Dichrin, that when do you do Ksuvas Banan Dichrin? Like it says in the next Mishnah, on Tzadik Aleph, tomorrow's Mishnah. If there's a Moshe dinner, you do Ksuvas Iman and do Noshe Timon. But if not, then Cholkin B'Shavah. Now, Cholkin B'Shavah doesn't mean that we don't pay off the second Ksuvah. That's obviously a bona fide Choy that has to be paid off. It just means that all the remaining monies and assets in the estate, if there's a Moshe dinner, then we can talk about splitting up the Ksuvas Banan Dichrin. But if not, then there's no Ksuvas Banan Dichrin.
It's not released.
Not released. Good. So, okay, so my lab, what's the machlek is? The Marsovar, Marsov meaning Reb Shimon, the second Marsovar, Achaz Bechai, the Achaz and Moise, Yesh, then Ksuvas Banan Dichrin, but you have to go and
have a Moise dinner.
You have to have Moise dinner, because that's one of the rules and regulations. Or Marsov, in the first one, the Amar, who said, give it to the Ksuvas Iman to the second one, he was silent about the rest, he holds out, Eilem Ksuvas Banan Dichrin, and therefore whatever is remaining, assuming that there's any remaining estate, it'll just be split up among everybody equally. All you have to do is first, Achamisa, note the Ksuvas Iman, the second ones get paid
off the top.
Like any choiv, and then whatever's left is left, and then split it up. I mean, like, you have no right. Everybody agrees, that the Moshe dinner that was left, does it have to be cash? Does it have to be karka? Can it be metalklin? That's where the machloikis is. Marasav mekakoi in metalkli. Lo yu marasav afil metalkli. That the machloikis is when we say in the next Mishnah, Moise dinner. Does the Moise dinner have to dafke be karka? Or can it even be metalklin? And the Gemara is going to say, Miyotza Samus, can you say that? And the Gemara is going to go back and forth another two or three and four different shotim in the possible machloikis. So we're going to stop over here because otherwise we probably have to get to the Mishnah. But the bottom line is, according to the way the Gemara is saying now, is it could very well be that there is no machloikis about Ksuvas Banan Dichrin. Everybody holds it. There is Ksuvas Banan Dichrin. So what's the machloikis now between Reb Shimon and the Tanakhama on other Hilchois halachas which are related to the Ksuvas Banan Dichrin?
By the way, if it's all about karka, it makes sense why it's not Sheva Pruta. Mm-hmm. If you don't have karka and Sheva Pruta, it's ridiculous. A dinner is at least, you give a